Today, I would like to share with you some words from the gospel that was just read by Maggie, specifically verses 6 and 7 of the gospel. Why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. On a very personal note, if you ever find yourself at this parish of St. George on Young, and no one has asked you to get involved, to volunteer, if no one has hired you to do God's work, speak to me. Speak to me, brother, speak to me, sister, because you know what? We're starving for growth. And the first area of emphasis is to involve everyone in the life of the parish. But for a moment, imagine yourself in a workplace where you have lots of seniority. In fact, you've been a faithful employee for over 20 years. You've been loyal, you've been reliable, and you know the work to the extent that you're called upon to train new employees. Has anybody ever been in that situation? Other employees have been with the company, some for 10 years, some for 5 years, and others were recently hired. But one day, in a conversation with the owner of the company, you find out that everyone gets the same salary, no matter how long you've been with the company or what work you do. And the owner says to you, it doesn't matter whether you do the statistics, whether you're on call 24/7, whether you basically come once per week and open the door to let visitors in, everyone gets the same salary. Now, the gospel reading for today tells us about one of Jesus' thought-provoking parables, teaching that everyone should be equally rewarded no matter when they start or what they have accomplished. And as the narrative goes, a landowner went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing on a wage, the laborers were hired for the day. But other workers were hired throughout the day, some at 9 o'clock, some at 12 o'clock, some at 3, and some at 5. But when the workday was over, the workers were all paid the same, starting with those who were hired last. Naturally, this approach seemed unfair, especially to those who were first hired very early in the morning and who had worked all day. And of course they were disgruntled. Who wouldn't be? They were dissatisfied because they thought that they would receive more than everyone else. And that's the natural thing, isn't it? But the landowner was adamant in honoring the agreement about the wages, emphasizing that it was up to him and not to anyone else to decide on the wages. He was quite clear that he would give the same to all of the workers, not because they deserved it, but because of his generosity. And for a moment, let us think of the economic and social conditions at that time. The landowner was probably wealthy, and these poor day laborers planted and harvested in what might have been unfavorable circumstances. And I don't know if anyone in the room has ever been on a job line for casual work, or maybe as a student trying to make ends meet, but sometimes day workers, casual workers, do not work under optimum conditions. In addition, the availability of workers throughout the day suggests that there might have been a high level of unemployment and competition for work. Interestingly enough, the pay of those who were hired at the beginning of the day, that was quite clear. But those who were hired throughout the day was not specified, as the landowner promised to pay whatever is right. So then he reserved the right to choose how to compensate those workers and avoided the predictable approach of payment based on possible length of service, hours of work, or perhaps what's generally called the merit system. And in our own context, I would imagine that this approach would be quite unusual, isn't it? And some would argue that this is contrary to the labor laws in some places. Certainly, in the province of Ontario, they set labor laws, and so there are parameters around the employment process. But Jesus is teaching about a God who is generous and one who wants to be unrestrained in blessing every one of us. He wants to be lavish. God wants to be extravagant. And his generosity challenges the assumption that people receive God's blessings proportionate to what they have earned or deserve, and that our acts of service or good deeds set us up for better rewards. So then, the gospel reading tells us that the workers complained and they thought that the landlord was unfair on two grounds. Firstly, the landlord paid everyone the same. And to add insult to injury, to compound it further, he paid them in reverse order from when they started. They grumbled against the landowner because they felt that those who had worked for just 1 hour should not be compensated the same as those who had worked all day. But the landowner didn't think like the workers. For it is human nature, naturally, to compare and to contrast, isn't it? But it is God's desire to be generous. Now, in our way of thinking, fairness is generally accepted as a moral principle. But we should also be clear that what is fair treatment might not always be cut and dry. And it might be based on one's own perspective. A very personal experience. I worked for you, the people of the province of Ontario, for a number of years. And one of my assignments was at the Ontario Human Rights Commission. And I remember that when I was at the Ontario Human Rights Commission, there was quite a lot of discussion around accommodation for persons with disabilities, persons who are differently abled. And I remember sitting in a room with the chief commissioner at that time, and she gave an example. And she said, you know what? Treating people the same doesn't necessarily mean that it's fair treatment. And everybody looked around. What do you mean? And she said that sometimes treating people differently might be fair treatment. And if we think of accommodation of persons who have issues with mobility, if we were to provide stairs to everyone, the impact on those who are not as mobile would mean that they have not been fairly and equally treated. So what do? We accommodate. We say that in order to have an equitable outcome, there are times when people must be treated differently. And that is fair treatment, because the fairness is in the outcome, not in the process. And I believe that it's a closer interpretation of Scripture, and that is what is being presented here, that God, as a generous God, does not compare and contrast. And the progressive notion of what we consider equal treatment is that we treat people so that the outcome is fair. And I think that that is what jumps out at me today, that the landowner is saying that the people who came to the vineyard at a later time came for different reasons. I must say that the lesson goes beyond the idea of fairness, because the teaching today is really about God's generosity. Because God chooses to show his abundant grace and mercy to all. And sometimes it seems unfair and contrary to the human view of fair and equal treatment. God does not bless us differently based on what we responded to. But there's always an opportunity to make a commitment to serve Christ and to be the beneficiary of God's grace. So what motivates us? Has anybody been listening to the interviews from the Invictus Games? Is everybody following up the Invictus Games? Now, if you have not been listening to the interviews, please do. There are so many interviews of the participants, people who have been wounded, people who are ill. And just to bring you up to date very quickly, the Invictus Games, the third Invictus Games, they're happening right here in the city of Toronto. And it's for military personnel who have been wounded or who are ill. It's amazing. And the stories that are coming out of the games, why people participate. People who have been down and out, people who have seen situations that we don't even want to think about, people who have sacrificed, and yet they keep going. They keep on going. And that is a lesson to us here, particularly those of us at St. George on Yonge who feel tired right now. We've been here laboring in God's vineyard for years. We've seen the old building torn down. We've struggled through rebuilding. We're now in the process of growth. And we look around and our numbers are few sometimes. And we keep on, we keep on, we keep on. Because what do we know? We know exactly what the first reading for today teaches us. That our God is a faithful God, and that with perseverance, God will continue to provide manna as he did for the children of Israel, as read in our first lesson today. So what motivates us to follow Christ? Well, we notice from the parable that the workers showed a willingness to serve, although no one had hired them. But the question that I'm raising today, could they have been waiting for a specific landlord to hire them? And sometimes we do have a choice on where to work, don't we? People who are highly gifted and highly qualified and who have wide choice can look at a company and say, you know, this is where I would like to work because my skills fit that particular company. Or this is the manager I would like to work for, because that manager is progressive, that manager listens to staff, that manager wants everyone to work as a team. And Christians serve a God whose generosity is infinite. So in the sight of God, our ideas of merit and excellence are not necessarily connected to God's grace. Similarly, if we're ever concerned about what God has given to another person, my thought is that we should focus instead on God's gracious benefits to us and focus on what we have, because we have chosen to serve a gracious and generous God. So what are some of the lessons from this particular scripture? Very quickly, God's generosity is limitless. It's abundant. He lavishes it on us. And he accepts us as sinners who turn to him for forgiveness. And I won't get into a lot of details on forgiveness today because we had quite a remarkable discussion last week on forgiveness. And those of you who were here, remember that message on forgiveness that was presented last week. And if you were not here, you can listen to it by going onto the website. First of all, God is generous. Secondly, God values each and every one of us. And like the disciples, we hear Jesus' words as an invitation to get involved in God's work at any hour and in any life situation. And without needing to analyze how others are called or rewarded, for God gives us the power and the privilege to enjoy the rewards of doing things his way. And this involves making some choices. And like the landowner in the scripture, we could be called to challenge some conventional structures and practices. And thirdly, from this lesson, we learn that we should lean on God's promises. We can rely on the promises of God and trust that he will provide for us. The children of Israel trusted God and he provided. And the gospel reading reminds us that God will pay us what is right. So, God's generosity might not seem fair, but God chooses to bless us liberally, and we are encouraged to be faithful disciples. But the parable is not about rewards in the literal sense. It is really about salvation. For God treats us as equals, just as the workers were treated as equal. And God used wages to unify rather than to divide. I must tell you that as I read a little more beyond what's presented in Scripture, I came across some words from a biblical scholar, which I would like to share with you this morning. And this is how this biblical scholar put it. And he said, many people who we don't expect to see in heaven will be there. Many people who we don't expect to see in heaven will be there. The thief who repented when he was dying will be there, along with people who have believed and served God for many years. And you know the story from Luke 23, verses 40 to 43. The thief next to Jesus looked over and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. No, Jesus did not say, brother, you've been sinning all your life and you're waiting until the last moment to do something about it. No, that's not what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. Now I must tell you that at parish council on Tuesday night I used that example. And Kwan, who is sitting right here, said, you know what? It's wonderful that the thief repented and that Jesus promised that he would be with him in paradise. But isn't it wonderful to start serving God from the beginning of the day? To be in the field from sunrise? Because think of all of the joys of serving God throughout the day, the joys of serving God throughout our lives. And I believe that's a message that we would like to share today. Let us start wherever we are because of the joys of serving God. While we can, wherever we can. And you know what? There's such deep spirituality here in this parish, and there's such wisdom that I said to Kwan, he's preaching next week. But on a serious note, we all have gifts to offer. The good news is that it's not about recognition. It's not about how we are blessed by God. For no matter where we are in our walk with Jesus, no matter what our circumstances in life, salvation is offered to each and every one of us. And so I close. Grace is God's unmerited favor to us. We serve a gracious and loving God. For the nature of God's love might not conform to our understanding of fairness. But in the end, God's love wins the day. For we are blessed because of God's grace and God's mercy, not because we deserve it. And God also wants us to be generous in loving and serving each other. So my sisters and brothers in Christ, let us stay alert and be ready for opportunities to serve Christ as we respond to God's invitation to be a laborer in his vineyard. Along Young Street, across Shepherd, in the neighborhoods, wherever we are, whatever we do in our daily vocation. For God's promise is true. So let us place our faith and trust in God as he leads us to do the work that we need to do. These thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.